everyone. I hope you're doing wonderful today. I certainly am, and I give all my praises to Allah God. Indeed, this is another Tuesday. Today is Thursday here in Washington, D.C., and we're coming at you again, thanking you for listening in at Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. We're based right out of Washington, D.C. Make no mistake about that, right? Okay. We also want to say thank you to all of the previous guests that have been on the airwaves. Do yourself a favor and make sure you tune in to these programs, because I'm a living witness that some of the shows that are on this network, they're being left up 3 months because of the information that they are providing. If you, for an example, are a returning citizen, if you, for an example, have a great job, but you seem to be stuck, you want to get a promotion, then you want to hear Dr. Gloria Barksdale. I'll come back with the date of her show, because that's a must-hear show. If you're ill, for an example, and you're looking for holistic products, we have another show from Dr. B. His show is still on the air far past 3 months. These shows are very, very important. And there's no doubt in my thinking that today's show will also go past that three-month mark. But again, you can be reassured, each show coming across this airwave stays up for 3 months. Today's show is going to be another exceptional show. It's not because of me, it's because of our guest. You know, the black male gets a bad rap the majority of the time, at least for mainstream media. He is seen in such a negative image. And we're not denying that these negative images are not true. The challenge is, or the disagreement is, that it's not the majority of black males. In fact, our guest today is a young black male. Trust me when I tell you, this young man is representing. His name is Adam Dula, and I'm so proud. He's from the D.C. DMV area, and he is an artist representing the colony. Make no mistake about it. He is based in the DMV as an artistic collective artist. He is doing great things, and yet you haven't heard of Adam Dula? Well, do yourself a favor. Sit down, relax, because he's on our live line right now. Let's bring him up. Welcome to the program, my brother, Adam Dula. How are you today?
Greetings, greetings, sister. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you, sir?
I'm all good. I'm all good. I'm always good. Now, thank you for asking. Honestly, I find it hard with the blessings that I've been given recently to even find myself being okay. I'm far more than okay.
Yes, indeed. You know, I'm going to go into our subject matter in just a moment, but I want to detour just a little bit to get your opinion of what you're hearing. I mean, I'm in my age years old, and we hear certain information about black males, but you are a young black male. What do you hear when people are describing maybe the media or maybe the image that you hear in your peer group about young black males? Because what we're hearing is scary, and I know that's not all true. How about it, Adam?
Honestly, I'm really, really glad that you asked that. As a person being as tall as I am, I'm 6'6". You know, I'm the height of, you know, a normal basketball player. And a person will, you know, see me at any given moment and will kind of be taken back when I begin to speak to them. I don't know if they don't expect me to say the things that I'm saying or say it the way that I'm saying it, but I personally am not interested and or involved in the media heavily. I try to be very focused on art. I'm very artistic, not political. However, I do know that there is an expectation for our young black men, and That's upsetting. It's upsetting for me to speak to someone and to say, wow, you're articulate, or to say, wow, you're intelligent, because it then leads me to believe you're not expecting me to be intelligent because I was black, or you're not expecting me to be intelligent because of the area you have met me in. However, I can't honestly say that they're not too far off, because as far as black people go, our lives matter, and we know that because we hear it in the media every day. And our young black men are shouting that, but these are the same people who you can't forget. You can't form together and go against the police and not remember that we still have to care about each other. We can't say, nah, the police can't kill us, but I'm going to kill him because I don't like him. We have to still fight the stereotype the same way we fight the power, if that makes any sense. You understand me on that, Nia?
Well, I mean, it makes 100% sense. I mean, you know, you're keeping it real. You're right. We can't ask the police, as you stated, not to kill us, and then we turn around and do the dirty job ourselves. You know, I speak for people, or for what I believe or I have run into as far as an opinion or a thought. But I didn't want to do that for you. I wanted to hear your opinion as a young black male that is actually out here doing powerful, positive work and I won't say hobbies, but indeed work, making a difference. And it's the mainstream media that is just overlooking or ignoring whatever they're doing. It's really okay with me, because you have a radio home here with Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. You can come back and also let us know what you want us to know or what you need us to know, because we're so proud of you, and I haven't known you a week. You can just meet you, and the vibe and image that you displayed to me was just tremendously impressing. You talked to me, or will you talk to us, rather, about the urban culture and discussing as an urban philosopher. Brother, take it away.
I can actually touch back on the other subject while I jump into this, because a lot of people say, well, okay, so you're an urban philosopher, but you know, I'm not familiar with, you know, what an urban philosopher would talk about. And I say, well, urban culture. And they say, well, what is that? And I say, oh, well, that's hip-hop. A lot of people think that hip-hop is music, but rap is the music for hip-hop. Hip-hop is our culture. Hip-hop is the way that we speak. Hip-hop is the way that we dress. Hip-hop is the tattoos that we get, the sneakers that we wear. It is our everyday living environment. I, as an urban activist, say a lot of times, and it is different, and people, you know, respond a bit differently, that I am from the streets, or the streets have saved my life. And they say, okay, well, what does that mean? And I say, well, you have to realize in the culture that we're living in, breakdancing, and I know you're familiar because, you know, you're only a couple years older than me, myself, Nia. So I know you're familiar with, you know, like old school b-boying, breaking 1 and 2, Beach Street, those things. That is the movement of the streets. In those New York areas where they had gangs that were populated in those neighborhoods, this was how they release that tension, that aggression, and that stress without having to kill their people. So I'm looking at you, and I'm battling you, and I'm battling you hardcore, and that music's cranking, and my boys are behind me, and your team's behind you, but we're not hurting each other. We're expressing it through the culture. Graffiti tagging is what we see. We take in life the same way you see it. We just display it a completely different way. The reason I say
so,
take my life, well, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please, I didn't mean to cut you off. Flow, brother, flow.
The reason that I say hip-hop saved my life is because, honestly, Nia, I would have never believed in myself to communicate to anyone. I would have never told anyone to have purpose within themselves. I would have never found purpose within myself had I not gained access to urban culture. So I really honestly don't want people to fall for a stigma when viewing the light that they place it in. Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, rap is, you know, washing these kids, and rap or hip-hop is, you know, this they paint it to be this monstrous movement that is all about killing and violence, and they forget that we've produced people like Common, and they forget that we've produced people like Mos Def, activists who have empowered black people to do better, who have set a standard for it to be unacceptable for you not to be loving the skin that you're in. But you can go ahead with what you were saying.
Oh, no, brother. I'm your steward. I am sitting here actually learning, because one of the most profound things I just learned, and you distinguished it, that hip-hop is the culture and rap is the music. And the culture itself, as you stated, is not just the music. It's about the way you dress, the way you carry yourself, I guess. Now, one of the criticisms that I'm with is the wearing of the pants hanging down. Is that a hip-hop culture, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it is not something that came along with our culture. The reason it was popularized is because of trends, simply because one person sees that and says, you know, if I respect this person, if this man, if this big homie is my OG, excuse the layman's terms and the slang, if this big homie is my OG, and he's sagging his pants, but, you know, I want to be like him. He has money like I want to have money. He's taking care of his, whatever he's doing. He is doing something that makes me look up to this person. So I have to sag my pants, too. I honestly can tell you that, you know, I play sports, and a lot of times, specifically in basketball, I wear two pairs of shorts. And for comfort purposes, I do sag those second pair of shorts. Now, it is different because I heard, you know, one of my little brothers say once when we were in the mall, he literally bought a pair of jeans, and he said, now, these are nice jeans. He said, but once I sag them, they're going to be really rocking. And I said, wait a minute. Okay, so you're going to buy a belt to go with it. He said, yeah. And he said, and then I'm going to sag them. I said, with a belt on? And I had never even understood until that day that they had actually saw styling or fashion in sagging your pants.
Yes, sir. And actually, sagging is nigger spelled backwards. Or nigger, that's spelled backwards.
Yeah,
you know,
I heard this in a presentation in an open mic, and it was so enlightening. It opened my eyes. Now, I can't lie.
Say you, brother, your eyes are steadily opening. Because you're on to something here, Brother Adam Dula. You're on to something, because hip-hop, I like hip-hop, and I like some hip-hop music. I detest the profanity. In fact, I asked people and forgot to ask you. I try to do it in the brief before we go on air, to ask people not to use profanity on any of our shows. There's so many words that we can use, and just refrain from about five or six, because
right.
It's in mainstream media and it's acceptable. But on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people, it's not acceptable. There's so many other words we have to learn. Go ahead, brother. You got a point?
Yeah, and I definitely think a lot of people would like to see themselves as rationalizing it. Well, you know, I'm just trying to express myself. But I feel like, how many emotions can you have for you to only be using 16 words? How expressive are you really? Are you really trying to express yourself? Because with the capability of the words that we have, you could be saying so much. And as a person who talks a lot but never actually expressed himself, and I honestly feel like there's a difference, I feel like I would know. I have been talking for so long as a person but never actually saying anything, if that makes any sense.
Makes plenty of sense. Brother Adam, you don't mind, or do you mind, discussing your age? I want the audience to know about you. Where were you born? Where were you raised? And how were you educated?
I originally was born in La Plata, and I was only born in that area. I moved into the Temple Hills area at a very, very young age, and to my early development was there. I was in private schooling. I was going to National Christian Academy, which is a very good school. And when I was about 7 years old, I moved to the islands. And that was a very, very different experience, particularly the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas. And I was schooling out there in another private school and just experiencing life differently. It was honestly different to have so much family around and to be able to walk and have people up and down the block know you, because, you know, the island is so small. You're able to take a dollar safari from one part of the island to the other, you know, and it's just a very different living style. I moved back when I was close to around the middle school, high school age, and the rest of my development was done here in public schooling. I could definitely say that's where I found myself and began to develop my personality That's when I got very heavily into sports. I was not into art at all. I fancied myself an athlete. I actually wanted to be a martial arts instructor. And after, I guess, as a hobby, you know, dancing just occasionally with my friends, my aunt, who had a dance studio at the time, Making Moves Dance Collective, which she still does have, she said, well, you know, how would you feel about, you know, dancing with our studio? And I had never danced on a stage or in front of anyone, and I had never really thought about it, but I gave it a shot. And I almost had fallen in love with it to the point where I was missing basketball practice, and I was missing football practice, and I was missing martial arts practice to dance. I wasn't even telling my coaches what I was doing. I was like, oh, you know, just so busy, you know, this homework, you know, teacher's been hitting me with it, you know, I just want to make sure everything's good with the grades. And I, in actuality, I was dancing. Around high school, I started a dance team at Parkdale High, me and my best friend, Steven, and there was no dance team at the time. We started the dance team.
Adam, hate to interrupt you. Hold your thought. Going to pay a few bills, go to a quick commercial break, find out about what happened that turned things around when you were in high school about your dancing, and we want to hear the year that all of it happened as well. Sorry to interrupt, but I got to pay the bills. Go to a few commercials. Exactly. You're listening to our guest today. His name is Adam Dula. Make no mistake about it. I'm sure the little bit you've heard, maybe you feel like I feel, audience. I met this young man just passing by him in a restaurant. And he just impressed me with the short conversation. I took his number and said, look, I want our radio family to hear from him. It's Adam Dula. We're going to take a quick commercial break, come right back, and find out more about our guest, our brother, Adam Dula. Keep it right here on Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. I am Nia 2X. The sacredness of Black history is best told from the DNA of Black people who still feel the pain, the terror, the horror, the pressure, agony, the loathe, dread for over 450 years of racism, white supremacy. Brothers and sisters, we must tell our story to the world, to the universe, for every generation coming. It is the responsibility of Black people to not only tell our own story, but we must protect, teach, preserve our story. We owe it to our ancestors, ourselves, and our future generations. This message is brought to you by VLB Productions. VLB Productions is an advertising and public relations company. Also, we want to say thank you to JC Charters and Tours. JC Charters and Tours are a 24-hour bus service, but not only that, they provide transportation for air travel, trains, and cruises as well. If your church, your school, family reunions are considering a travel agency that has provided transportation services for more than 10,000 customers, called JC Charters and Tours to book your event, trip, or tour, call them at 301-674-9382 or phone them at 301-773-7451. Visit them online at www.jccchartersandtours.com. You'll be glad you did. All right, back in the studio with a fantastic young Black brother named Adam Dula. He has a message for you and a message for myself. It's so rewarding. It really, really is, because we knew we had young Black males like Brother Adam that are doing things, that are ambitious, that are ready to burst into what they have to offer to the world and to the universe. So without further ado, let's go back to our guest. Brother Adam, you left us, you were in high school, and you and a friend decided Because at first your coaches, you were into sports, but then you and your friend decided to get into, well, you got into dance, and you and your friend decided to take it a little further. Please continue.
Yes, indeedy. So we started Parkdale's first dance team, and there was, like, you know, a talent show that, you know, happened every year, and I was a sophomore at this time, and we won this, you know, thing called Parkdale Idol. So people were like, wow, and the dance team began to get, you know, a lot of people, and it was a fully functional dance team. We began to go to other schools and start dancing. Different cliques in that dance team were formed, and people still dance, you know, with each other to this day. I formed my personal dance crew that went on to winning PG Fest Dance Crew twice in a row, which was Delicious Long Numbers Dance Crew. Shout out to them. And, you know, it definitely seemed like I was forming a rhythm and an identity for myself. I had a best friend at the time. His name was Benton, and he was very, 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 very sports-oriented. We were very both into sports. And when I started dancing, he said, I know you're not trying to dance, brother. You don't got no groove thing to shake. And when I started showing him what I was getting into, it was different because, you know, when we first used to get into dancing, we were watching Chris Brown. But the guy who I told you about, Steven, was a breakdancer. You know, he was watching people like Crazy Legs and Boogaloo Shrimp, and I had never seen anything like this before. I had never seen a person spin on his head. So I said, brother, how do you do that? Like, can I do that? I feel like I'm too tall. My legs are too long. He said, brother, let me show you something. And he showed me a guy from Japan named Phoenix, and he was about 6'11". And he could do things that I would never have dreamed, things that I can do now, but things that I could have never have seen myself doing. And I was pretty athletic. Doing martial arts, I knew how to flip, you know, and do things like that, but I could never move my body to spin on my head or do a handstand and spin around upside down on one hand, which is called a 90-90. You know, I could have never imagined doing things like that. But as he was teaching me, I was learning, and I showed my best friend at the time, and he said, dude, this is freaking amazing. I've never seen anything like this. He was like, you're a legend. And he embraced dancing like I had never seen a friend embrace change. Around the time that my 11th grade year started, if you would have asked me what was going to happen, I was going to go to college, pursue dancing, and eventually try to open up, you know, different dance organizations and recreational centers. Around the end of my 11th grade year, my best friend committed suicide.
And oh, no.
This was very, very heavy for me at the time because I'd never really experienced loss, honestly. I'd never lost a person in my family. I had both my grandparents, both grandmas, and both grandpas. You know, I'd never really had anything like this happen. And it was shocking. I was surprised that someone who I had planned out my whole future with could disappear. I didn't believe that the world worked that way. And I began to put the pieces kind of back together. I began to find a new side of me, and that was communication, communicating with others, forming connections, and that kind of led me to a different style of patterning. So the next year, as I graduate in 2011 from Parkdale, I was originally enrolled to go to Allegheny. And about 3 days before I was supposed to take my stuff onto campus, I called my mother and I said, I'm not going to college. And she said, and I was expecting her to start yelling and shouting. And she was like, okay, that's understandable. And she said, what are you going to do? And I said, I want to be a professional artist, and I'm going to move to New York and be a dancer. And she said, okay, well, I support you. She said, you sound like you honestly have thought this out, and, you know, I support you with whatever you do. I always taught you how to think, now what to think, so I'd never worry about you. She said, you know, and I wish the best. She said, okay. She said, I wish you'd have told me a couple weeks ago. You know, we could have not worried about, you know, the whole Allegheny thing. So she definitely was good. And when I got out of high school, I didn't do that. You know, I got a job at Foot Locker. And I was buying, you know, infinite amounts of sneakers, and I was dancing heavily. We went on to win East Coast Best Dance Crew, and we were trying to go on to America's Best Dance Crew, but they ended up losing the sponsor, so the opportunity was kind of lost, but just developing. And at the time, just because I loved being around people so much, I was throwing parties. And, you know, people at parties, they're listening to the music, they're jamming, you know, everyone's feeling the vibrations, and, you know, people are rapping. Simply because, you know, I enjoyed the hip-hop culture as a b-boy. You know, the speech of the streets is emceeing and or rapping. So, you know, I love to rap. I'm not a rapper, but I love to rap. And there was a guy who came to one of the parties, and at the time he was, you know, an artist. He still is a recording artist, and I really respected him. And he said, how long have you been rapping again? And I said, brother, I don't rap. I'm a dancer. And he said, oh, okay. I don't know why I thought you were a rapper, man. He said, you rap so well. It's like, I thought you really do this. And I kind of shrugged it off. And then it happened again. So I said, wait a minute, I can't rap. And I asked one of my good friends who, you know, was going to all the events with me and hangs out with me constantly, who was really my right-hand man, my Starsky to my Hutch. And I said, do you think I should rap, brother? And the words he said did not only influence me to do what was making music, but it honestly influenced me to be a philosopher. He simply said, Adam, when you talk, people listen. And I sat back and I said, okay.
Well, I'm not gonna say I'm a victim, but I understand what he's saying. Go ahead, brother.
So this is about a year after I graduated, about 2012, transitioning around New Year's time into 2013, and I say when 2013 starts, I'm gonna be a rapper. Halfway through that time, just meeting artists, they said, man, you talk so different than any rapper I've ever met. Like, you know, why is that? And after telling them, you know, the things I was interested in and the type of, you know, thinker that I was and how I'm a critical thinker and I've always been in depth, they said, man, you're really deep. You know, you're kind of like a poet with it. You're not even like a poet. You're like a philosopher. And so I said, me, a philosopher? And I thought that was kind of funny. I follow philosophy, but I would have never fancied myself a philosopher. And I had a journal that I've been writing in recently, and it was funny because I just had dabbled back in recent entries, or earlier entries, excuse me, and I said to myself in the journal, following people like Aristotle and Socrates allows me to know that I could never be a philosopher. The quotes that they say are effortless. I could think all day, and I could still never come up with things like that. Well, long and behold, at the end of that year, I had came up with three quotes, and it was only because of literally what life was giving me. I was meeting people who were just as ambitious and motivated as I was. And these people just maybe didn't have one or two connections that I felt like could enable them to grow to the next step. Or maybe there's a person who has all of the tools and keys, but he's a little too shy to be able to make that networking connection that's going to take him to that next step. So I said, wait, I wonder how it would be if all of us were together. Let's say 10 of the people that I would meet, 4 of these people are my friends, so I feel like, you know, I'm starting out pretty easily. So I kept the idea in the back of my mind that I would want to be successful and carry people with me. And as I came up with quotes and people listened and I ran these past the people who, you know, I was making art with, it began to kind of pick up momentum, kind of like a snowball into an avalanche. As of now, I'm releasing and publishing a book, which is the journal that I started, and it has things that enabled me to know myself. Like when I found out that I had purpose, I wrote this quote that I can share with you. When you find what makes you smile, when you find what makes you smile, you have found true happiness. When what makes you smile helps others, you have found your purpose in life. So,
It's like, you ever heard the statement that he's before his time? They said that a lot about Malcolm X.
Yeah.
They say it a lot. Malcolm was before his time, and you give me that impression that, you know, all I see in you is like now and future, because it's like you're just beginning, a young man. I want to talk about your future, and also get more philosophical perspective of what you desire and what you see the world as today and your input to change the world. Now, you gave us one philosophical quote from yourself. Are you sharing the other two?
Yes, I actually can. And it's funny because these weren't even meant at first to be shared with people. I was just writing them in my journal. So, like, when I released the journal, people will see my actual handwriting and the authentic journal that I was writing in, because, you know, photograph pictures and things like that. I don't want to give you too much about it, though. And the other one was one that I actually had shared with you recently, and it was because as an artist, when you start working with other artists, you know, you realize that artists work on such odd schedules. So I call myself a 24-hour artist, because you have some artists that work as vampires. They sleep all day and they work all night, and you have people who do the opposite. They're up all day. I, however, need every single minute to be productive. I'm a 24-hour artist. But a lot of people would say, oh, I'm busy. I'm sorry I couldn't link up with you, brother, because I was busy. Oh, I didn't get your text, brother, because I was busy. And as I was thinking, journaling, I said, why do we claim that? Why do we deem ourselves to be busy? Why not be productive? You can be busy doing anything, yeah. You can be busy tying your shoes. You can be busy having a conversation with the postman. You can be busy folding clothes. You can be busy doing anything. You cannot be productive doing anything. If we want to blame ourselves, we should blame ourselves.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just adding that, tidbit.
No, I mean, you're right on it. I mean, that's elevated thinking right there. That is changing the language, changing the dynamics. That's heavier than just I'm busy, the accepted norm. I mean, you're changing language for the good. Make no mistake there. You are changing language that goes deeper into utilizing our God-given brain. The saying is that most of us, if not all of us, humans, only use a small portion of this powerful organ, the human brain. And if we're utilizing less than 5% of our human brain, then that other 95% has so much more to offer. So when you take something like I'm busy, for that example, and then translate it into, no, there's a better way to respond, and then put it out here in the universe. Well, I'm listening as your older sister, in the movement, and it's a very, very good way. It's a better way to think for people that think positive. You are definitely a positive thinker. Is my assessment correct?
Definitely. You're hitting the nail on the top, head on.
When you deal with negative energy, we all run into it in our lives. How do you deal with negative energy, of whether it's behavior or speech? What would you advise to others that may not know what to do? They like a person, but maybe that person, again, uses a lot of profanity and they don't have the courage, or they're tired of telling the person, clean your language up. How do you deal with negative behavior and speech in your life?
I feel like that's honestly a very, very valid question because it, I guess, begins to expose where I differ in being a philosopher, I suppose. I have a thesis, and it's that negativity does not exist. Negativity does not exist? What do you mean? That's crazy. We speak to the world as we are. And what that means, Mia, is that if I can see on top of the fridge as a person who's 6'6", I may accidentally put the keys up there, not remembering that my girlfriend isn't as tall as me, so she can't see up there. You only interact genuinely the way that you are. The reason I say that there is no negativity is because we are all simply different. We all love and communicate differently. There's no way that you can say that, there's good in God in all of us and say that people are just, in some portions falling subject to negative energy. If a person yells at me, they may see that as, I may see that as negative if they're yelling. The reason I myself, Adam, the philosopher, do not see that as negative is because how else can you express yourself? In my opinion, if we're going to have to talk this out, I would rather you yell it out and get it out so that you feel better, like having a good cry. If you have to yell it to the top of your lungs and use some profanity, get it out, because I guarantee you're going to feel better afterwards. But I would rather you do that than shut down and not say anything. I would rather you do that than take whatever the situation is to heart and therefore, place a bigger barrier in the future. The reason I say that nothing is negative is because, well, in my opinion, as a human being, I'm a very, very calm person. I'm a very, very controlled person. I don't find myself to yelling unless it's for emphasis. Turn off the TV and a person says, why are you upset, though? And then if they're not understanding, for emphasis, I may say, you didn't turn off the TV and raise my voice, but it's not even because it's necessary. It's because I feel like maybe that would clarify. Now, when I speak to people, honestly, you'll be surprised. When you're speaking to an angry person and a person is yelling in your face, and you say, brother, what's the problem? Me and you are in the same way. They don't like that. A person takes your calmness and your friendliness as a sarcastic tone or a condescending demeanor. There is connotations of negativity that we can sprinkle on anything. Whether you are yelling and you're being aggressive, or you're smiling, which presents the idea that maybe you're being sarcastic, there's really no way to dodge negativity regardless of how you respond because we are all different. So I try to, remain conscious of the things that have helped me in times of distress. One quote that really, really helped me just dealing was, believe it or not, everyone in life, everyone that you meet is simply doing the best that they can.
Oh, that's beautiful. Go ahead, brother. That's so beautiful. Go ahead.
Yeah, as a philosopher, I'm almost incapable of not traveling with the words, you know, of other philosophers. But when I heard that quote, I said, oh, man. And, you know, at one point, a person may think, nah, you know, I know a couple people that's just not trying. But we forget that, you know, some people are stronger than others. Some people run faster. Some people don't run. Some people think harder. Some people climb. Some people swim. You can't judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree.
Yes, sir. Adam, you were 3 days. You were 3 days before going to college. Did you have a major or an area of station that you were leaning toward? If so, please share.
Well, honestly, I can tell you it was not philosophy. that was, to me, at the time that you would have told me, that was boring. I was not going to sleep in a philosophy class because I get enough sleep. I was interested in philosophy because I was heavily interested in, you know, the dealings and engagements of, you know, other people and how the mind works and why people think the way that they do. And I really, you know, was into dance, but my mother just laughed every time I said, you know, I wanted to do anything involving dance because she said, well, you know, you're not going to be able to make anything good come of that. And I said, okay, so what do you think I should do, Ma? I said, you think I should just keep, you know, working myself as a dancer and then go for the business? And she said, okay. Now I think we're working with something. She said, I mean, because you said you wanted to open up a couple places for dancers, so maybe that'll work. At the time, I was with a company called Urban Artistry, which kind of on a way broader spectrum does what I'm trying to do, and they simply entertain and educate people about, you know, urban culture and or hip-hop. That was where I got a little bit of the building and foundation for the information that I give people, being able to tell someone that a break dancer and a b-boy is two completely different things. But my major was simply going to be business management so that I would have the backing to be able to empower other dancers. You know, maybe someone doesn't know how to, you know, run a business. I know that, you know, I've seen people open up dance studios, even if they started at recreational centers or in churches, but I knew that there was a possibility I could work up to my own space. So that was what I was going for, simple business management.
Do you have any YouTube videos that we can check out today?
Absolutely. It's really odd when people go to follow me as a person online because it's a very, very heavy transition. All of the videos as far as following me as a person are dated up to 2015, and the reason being is because it's dated up until I decided that I was a philosopher and or writer and a rapper and that I wanted to run an artistic collective for people who wanted to make a living out of art and people who believed in themselves. So when I did that, instead of me just, you know, making a step and then showing the people and then making a step and showing the people, I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I have a backing and a foundation. So you can go and you can see me dance, but as far as my music, as far as my quotes, as far as accessing the colony, it is very, very minimal things you can view. We have contacts. You can contact the colony in terms of being a part. You can see individual artists and what they do, but in terms of us being together or in terms of me developing into being a philosopher, I don't have anything updated yet. Everything will be updated as far as June 9th of this year.
Oh, that's beautiful. I still would like to just to see and to learn more because, like I said, when you define that hip-hop is a culture, it's not just music. And honestly, I had just confined it in my thinking, hip-hop, music, all the same. But obviously, it's not. It's a big difference. It's a way of life, hip-hop is what I'm getting from my teacher. because I'm the student right here near 2X Radio, going into another quick commercial break, and then come back to our guest so he can share the past of what he used to do as far as dancing. And then now we're hearing Adam Dula is getting more philosophical into the artistic collective, where you in the listening audience can also join with him, because we can tell this young man has a plan, and even more than that, God has a plan for him. Keep it right here. Don't go anywhere. We want to say thank you to a few sponsors who make it all possible. Without them, we would not even have our station. This is Neo2X Radio, the voice of the people. And as we say, and we mean, we do it all for you. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go anywhere. The Greater DC Chapter of the National Action Network is inviting the entire community to one of the most important issues of this day and time. It's Hands Off Our Children, Stop Minor Sex Trafficking. This is a call to action. Come to Bethlehem Baptist Church Saturday, April 8, 2017, beginning 2 p.m. until 4:30 p.m., free and open to the public. Special guest speakers include Teresa Jenkins, also Dr. Nessa Chappelle, and Sister Sudan Muhammad. There'll be solutions, concerned citizens, vending, and more. 2458 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. This event is sponsored by the Greater D.C. Chapter of the National Action Network. The National Action Network was founded in 1991 by Reverend Dr. Al Sharpton. For more information, please phone 202-352-2121. By all means, be there. Also, speaking of Reverend Al Sharpton, the National Action Network is the place to be April 26th through the 29th, 2017. It's their 26th annual convention in New York City, led by the world's number one civil rights leader, Reverend Dr. Al Sharpton. You don't want to miss people coming from all over the country to convene at the Sheraton Hotel in Times Square in New York City. Join with Samuel L. Jackson, rapper MC Lyte, Hill Hopper, Spike Lee, Eric Holder, just to name a few. As our late great brother Calvin Rolock always said, if it is to be, then it's up to me. The National Action Network will keep pushing to dismantle, destroy, and reform when necessary serious issues like police brutality, fair housing, prison reform, U.S. government accountability, and much, much more. Big 4 days in New York City. Get your details at National Action Network or call 212-690-3070. No justice, no peace. Back in the studio with our wonderful guest, a young brother who is putting it down, and his name is Adam Dula. And Adam Dula has a lot to offer life. You can meet him one time, and if you know how to discern people, there's just something about this 6-foot-plus young man that's friendly, that's powerful, and that's intelligent. You could just meet him, and you just feel that vibe. At least that was my impression. I met him a couple weeks ago in a restaurant, just passing by, and we stopped in a brief conversation, and that conversation led here today, and I'm so happy that he's here. Adam Dula, the artist representing the Colony. It's a DMV-based artistic collective and urban culture discussing urban philosophy and looking for ambitious people just like you. And he's going to tell us what that is all about. If you are talented and you just need a way out of the darkness, you need somebody to click that light on so you can see which way to go. Here he is today, Adam Dula, because he's not in the dark, but he has the calling. He says, hey, it's this way. And there is power in unity. And you know you are talented. You're out there in the audience. You know you can sing. You know you have something to offer. You just need that right connection, that right person, and it's Adam Dula. Trust me when I tell you. Adam, the colony, the artistic collective, please tell us what it's all about and what your intentions are with the artistic collective.
All right. Honestly, I'm really glad that you worded it the way you did. I honestly couldn't word it any better myself. A way into the light or out of the darkness is essentially what we strive to do. For people who are artists, even if a person thinks, well, you know, I don't want, you know, to be under this movement, and, you know, everything I do, they have to look over. I want people to understand that it is a collective, that it's an individual type of thing. We are all individual people with individual dreams and individual directions. We are literally intersecting lines. That is all the colony is. It is just a momentary intersection before we part, make each other stronger, and do our own thing. And if a person is not willing to walk with us, we are also a networking and contact base. If they want to reach out, if you were a rapper and you need an engineer, feel free to reach out. If you were an engineer and also you're a producer and you have beats and maybe you have someone that you want to begin to issue your beats to or sell your beats to, then we have rappers who are looking for, you know, creative and original beats. Same applies with models and photographers. We do have complete photography teams and videography teams if people need videos done. We do have models who need, you know, and would like to be shot by other local, you know, photographers, excuse me. And for the people who aren't artists, because the person may think, well, oh, I'm not an artist, so I have no place in the colony. They have to remember that this is about the culture. So if you are coming to support, this should be a contact base for you to find out shows to go through, weekly, monthly, big shows that happen in this area yearly, productions that we put on ourselves. For instance, we actually just had a production that we did as of recently. It was called the Halloween Concert, and it was a completely free-formed event. It was not really like anything I've ever particularly seen. We had a costume contest. It was a costumed event, $100 beer pong competition cash prize. It was an open bar. We had a actual edible sponsor from the D.C. edibles vendors come through and sponsor the event. We had clothing vendors, food vendors, different type of artists come and perform live. We had a DJ. It was literally just vibrations of people doing their own thing for the colony and with the colony. So the people you were seeing, you're not seeing someone like, oh, you know, I'm vending for, you know, Chick-fil-A. Oh, hey, I'm vending for this chicken market. This person is an individual vendor himself. He has a card in his back pocket that he can give you to contact him directly, and that's pretty much what all our events are about. In terms of plan, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sir. Excuse me.
Sorry about that, Donald. Sorry about that. In terms of things we plan on doing, right now, the person who deals with all the technical resources in our movement is making us a website and working on our app, which is pretty much going to place everything that I've been talking about in your hand, because this is the 21st century, so no one really is talking to a person who's standing on a corner saying, art never dies. Earth without art is just Art never dies. Earth without art is just No one's really stopping and speaking to that person. He kind of looks crazy at this point in life. And I can tell you, because, you know, I'm 6'6", I've been that guy. And it's cold weather sometimes. So what we're doing is we're saying, you know what? You're on Facebook. Why don't you download the Colony app? The Colony app, let me at least see what it is. And maybe, you know, we'll use a picture of someone doing a headspin. As of now, we have a preview version of the app. And so far what we're able to do is give you pictures of past events that we're doing along with flyers for up and coming events. We're also able to give you an events page that lets you know everything that's happening locally on a week to month to year basis. So imagine, Mia, you are, you know, a radio personnel or a radio personality from another area. And you're coming in with your significant other because you're going to be in, you know, the DMV area for a little bit, and you just want to go see an open mic. You can tap the Colony app, and even if you aren't looking to come to one of our events or if we don't have anything happening that month, it's going to say, spit that, longest-running open mic in D.C., 733 Euclid Street, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. So you know.
I know exactly where that is, right off of Georgia Avenue.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So you know. And you, even if you're not, you know, coming looking to support us, you're looking to support local urban art. And that's the bigger picture. So we're helping that, you know, we're helping that happen. We'll also have, you know, direct contact pages. You can contact the Colony individually. You can see the productions we've done. We'll have our old footage from the Smithsonian, our old footage from the Lincoln Memorial. We'll have our old footage from the Kennedy Center and all the past performances we've done throughout the area. We'll have the various open mics that we've done. That way you can see what you're getting into, which you, you know, might want to show someone else about. You may have want to have nothing to do with this. You know, you may not be an artistic type person, but you may know someone who needs this. I've met people sometimes, and they say, brother, you can do nothing for me, but I know someone whose world you can change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what we're doing.
That's what it's all about. It's about informing the people on our station and making sure people have alternative news and information. It's not all shoot them up, bang them up, and they're not doing nothing. It is about people like Adam Dula, who is definitely doing great positive things and rolling out the red carpet for you and myself to come, to join, to be a part of, and let ideas manifest right on the spot, because it's definitely a positive environment. And you, every did you say every Thursday, 733 Euclid Street Northwest?
Yes, indeedy. Spit that, longest running open mic in the District of Columbia.
Yes, indeed. That's right across the street from Howard University. You also said, Brother Adam, that there was great influence in rappers like Mos Def, for sure. How about David Banner, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who else impresses you in the rap world?
I am I'm very broad, honestly. So there's various places in our culture that I can touch on. There have been underground people who honestly give me a sense of life. These people don't get as much exposure. There's this guy named Michi Darko. He is a New York-based Flatbush rapper. He's made music with a little more popular person like A$AP Rocky. And the reason I particularly go to these guys, or the reason I even watch these guys, is because for them they understand that it's bigger than the music. What they enforce a lot of times is simply to open your mind. And, you know, at first it's just sounded kind of like something that, you know, you just take with a grain of salt, almost how I took strength in numbers as a grain of salt until I started the Colony and saw how strong numbers actually are. And I said, open your mind. Okay, that's interesting. Open your mind. That's cool. Yeah, buddy, open your mind. And as I began to look up his lyricism and I did see his lyrics and what they meant and what he was saying, and I began to, you know, you get into philosophy, you become a bit deeper yourself. I said, oh, my goodness. This guy was, as you said, ahead of his time. He was telling me things that I'm just now getting into, and now I'm like, oh, man, I'm going back and downloading music that I had skipped over before. A lot of people aren't necessarily politically interested in this person, but Drake definitely, I can say, has been a very, very, very heavy advocate for me to do the things that I'm doing as far as myself. He says things like, you know, no one from my area is famous. A lot of people look at the DMV, or a lot of people that I've even heard from around this area, say things like, man, I got to go to New York. It's popping over there. Man, I got to move down ACL. It's popping. Man, I got to move out Cali, man. It's popping. They don't realize that with the power, passion, and creativity that they have themselves, they can literally make this area popping. This area can literally be the next major city.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Sorry about that. There are eyes here. We have the MGM, the National Hardware. We have things that a lot of places and states don't even have. We have our own unique styling of music developed from, you know, the area that we have, go-go. We have Baltimore club music an hour away. A lot of people don't even have that, you know. So I honestly just want to have that be highlighted. When I was doing one of the performances at the Smithsonian, I met the Beecher Fee Kings. And it wasn't until we saw them again at the performance at the Kennedy Center, and I began to try to learn how to beat my feet, you know, myself, because I'm like, I'm going to learn, you know, the horse's mouth. And I began to see. I said, well, wow, this is different from b-boying. I see how a person could become interested in this, to highlight what we have in this area, to have a person want to embody the language, the slingo, the slang, and or short language, because a lot of people don't know that slang is just the definition of short language, to embody the slang and embrace the slang that we have around here, our own terms that we use, our own vernacular that people are adapting into online, that people are adapting into socially, that people are curious about.
Yes, sir. Brother Adam, we are basically at the end of our program. We're going to let you have the last word after this short commercial break. And thank you before the commercial break. Thank you for coming on and sharing and enlightening, representing young black males. Make no mistake, I mean, because we don't hear about people like you, and we tend to forget that you're actually in the majority. It's Adam Dula, everybody. I'll be right back with him to thank him again for coming on and sharing with us. And brother, before I go on to the commercial, know that you have an open invitation when you're doing something and you want to come on and spread the word. We'll be here for you. We're going to say stand by, everybody. Thank our sponsors. And please, support quality black-owned businesses wherever you are. As long as they are professional and quality, support them. Because the dollars recycle around. Everybody gets a chance to support one another. And if you are with a black-owned business or experience some bad treatment from that business, then be a little patient with that business. Let the owner know. And if it was the owner, write them a letter and tell them that we're in a movement to support quality black-owned businesses as long as they are professional and, of course, quality. And hopefully that will feed a message to that business owner to respect your time and your money patronizing them. Keep it right here on Near2X Radio. By the way, the program today is called Express Yourself. Keep it right here. I'll be right back. All right. Excuse me. JC Charters and Tours are a 24-hour bus service. But not only that, they provide transportation for air, trains, and cruises as well. If your church, school, family reunions are considering a travel agency that has provided transportation services for more than 10,000 customers, then call JC Charters and Tours to book your event or trip. Call them at 301-674-9382, or you can phone them at 301-773-7451. You can visit online at jccchartersandtours.com. You will be glad you did. Also, sponsoring this hour, make sure you want your special memories videoed, and you can get with the freelance videographer from Armory Project. That's right. Their work is precise, professional, quality-driven technology that shows it's a step above the rest. Don't risk your precious moments on video with just anyone. The Armory Project produces the quality you expect and you clearly deserve. Contact the Armory Project today at waa.contactus@gmail.com. That's waa.contactus@gmail.com. You can also call them at 202-905-1429. Okay, we're at the end of our program. We want to say thank you to our guest. Give him the last word. You have 45 seconds or less. Brother Adam Dula.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. I would just like to take this time to give a little light to everyone who's helped, and that's like Pep Squad, 20 Never, the Art Society, my PR team personally. For clarification, just in case, we're not a company. We're an artistic urban collective, and we're here to make history. Not money, so we're not paying artists, but don't get me wrong. You know, when you're good at something, you don't do it for free. To the people who are listening, I'm Adam Dula, or Ben the Philosopher, and I would like to make sure that everyone lives before they die, because very seldom. Seldomly people do. A lot of people are alive and not really living life. I appreciate you again, U2X.
I appreciate you. Do you have a contact number or email or website?
Absolutely do. I have a public line, which is 202-710-5106, 202-710-5106. And you can also reach out to The Colony, and that's thecolony.contact@gmail.com. And that's the same at LinkedIn, Yahoo. We have every sort of email. You can also follow me personally at POPPEEChulo, CHULO, on all social networks. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the opportunity, and I know this will not be the first venture. So I will talk to you very soon, Neo2X.
My brother, the pleasure has been all of mine and all of the listeners, I'm sure. Again, 202-710-5106.
Yes,
or
in the colony.contact.
@gmail.com. Brother Adam Dula, thank you. And thank you to the listening audience. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our engineer today, Brother Kawan. You know, without him, I'd be absolutely lost. Make no mistake about it. And again, a special thank you to Adam Dula, to your parents and family, brother, because they've done a fantastic job with you. You get the message and you're out here in the world forging a way to make it better. And may you continue to push hard because you're going to continue to be successful. Thank you to everyone. And remember, fight the power. Thank you to everyone. Fight the power. Peace.
Cheers.